Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live Radio tonight. It is Thursday night, December the 23rd, and we are on a new, we're on a phone line tonight, landline tonight, so we hope that it's going to be okay. For whatever reason, Skype's been out for a couple of days, and we were offline live yesterday. But here we are today, glad to be with you, and listen, welcome, come on in from all over. Listen, down there in Boulder City, Nevada, and throughout the internet worldwide and from the satellite. I want to welcome all of you to this, radio broadcast. We believe it's a supernatural hour and a divine appointment. We know that there's folks that are praying for us and praying for this hour. So wherever you're at, and whenever you do download also from around the world, we want to say again, greetings to you, and may God's grace and mercy be extended to you in the needs that you have. We're glad that you're here, regardless of the background. Listen, we have those who are remote viewers and psychics and Satanists and Wiccan and seekers and physicists and others that are listening. We know that by the emails we get and by the questions and sometimes by the engagement with some of those. And that's okay. We don't mind that at all. And we like to engage. I know we've been talking Monday and Tuesday about Stephen Hawking and his book, The Grand Design. And it's an interesting read, but it leaves me out in the spiritual, you know, the desert, literally out in the desert with no sense of the final answer. It's a book of, you know, for seekers and for those that are looking and for somebody that's kind of passionate about going through not only the how of the universe and how it all works, but also the why. And that's the only issue I'm going to say with Stephen Hawking is not being able to answer the reasons why. Well, tonight we're going to be going on to our fourth part. Actually, we're going to be redoing Wednesday night because we are off air. We've pushed things back. And so we are on the subject, the infinite in the bottle of time, space, and humanity. The infinite in the bottle of time, space, and humanity. Now, I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. Off the website, shatterthedarkness.net. The website, you're going to see that the week was the theme anyway for five nights, the physics of the infinite, grand design, where no angel can look, what man cannot discover, and what no demon can copy, the physics of the infinite. Now, when I say the physics of the infinite, I'm talking about, you know, literally the nature of God, the being of God, the existence of God, and what God is able to do as the infinite God. Now, there are those in mathematics that try to break down what the infinite is. I don't believe that they're able to equate the concept, or at least the self-revealed nature of God as infinite. Immeasurable is the other side of that issue, to where there's no way, with no human instrument, you can measure the depth, the length, the height, the width of God, because there are none. No beginning, no end, no limitations, no need. On and on we can say. Well, it's important because there are many seekers out there. It's important because there's an alternative, literally, globally manifest more than any time in history, a global alternative spirituality that has its roots in the finite. Has its roots in what is opposite to God and the physics, the way of God, the work of God, of the infinite God. So Monday night we dealt with through time and space, and Tuesday night we were dealing with grand communication, though we did not get into the depth of biblical prophetic revelation, because that prophetic revelation deals with, again, a revelation of God's absolute perfection. That God knows the future, not only what he is going to do, but what the dark side is going to do, and down to the very hair, what mankind's going to, God knows what you're going to do, no matter what. You can try to, you know, say, God, I'm going to go down this road. Nope, I'm going to go down this road. Nope, I'm going to go down this road. Whatever you do, God knows all the contingencies, and he knows the ultimate. And part of the reason I love that is that this also then tells me that when we talk about God's knowing of the issues of our lives, the things that are going on in our lives, that he knows everything in detail. That as a human father, I have one child. Now, we had other young people live with us and others that lived with us over time. But as a human father, if I had 10 children and I am in a room talking to one child and caring for the needs of one child, well, in the other rooms, the other children are not being cared for. I have vast limitations. But God does not. And that's what really tonight's subject, the infinite in the bottle of time, space, and humanity. Now, this is what no cult or a sect or anybody else can deal with. Now, this is part of the issue of what 2012ers and New Agers can't celebrate. I want to tell you something about what everybody calls Christmas time. I understand the background of the Roman paganism. I understand that old Christendom tried to overcome all that paganism and replace the dates. I understand the commercialism. I understand all of that. So what do I do in the mix? What is my choice? To either go silent? No, my goal with the Spirit of God in our lives is to glorify Christ, to make the most of every opportunity, to redeem the time. So I want you to hear me when I say that that there are times that we can really take advantage of unveiling Christ and the absolute, incredible, unprecedented, unequal, well, words, works, of the way in which God came into the world. So I think it's vital. And here's what I did the other day, because I know that everybody looks at this as kind of like Christmas time. And the majority of the world will say, it's Christmas time. And if they're really pressed, even the ACLU will say, well, yeah, it's a known reference to the birth of Christ, though he wasn't born December 25th, obviously. It's just in the midst of all that controversy over the issue and the materialism over the issue, what do I want to do? Well, you know what I want to do? Because I've worked through this over the years. You know what I want to do? I want to be able to look at biblical revelation and pour it out. Absolutely pour it out. Because when we look at the world that we're engaged in, look at some of the issues. I'm going to give you two issues right here that one deals with the political and moral combined, and it involves spirituality ultimately, and one deals with the horrific rise of radical evil. Number one, Barack Obama on television yesterday. Now listen, he was excited. He was happy to be on television. He was happy to be there demonstrating his joy, his sense of accomplishment for getting the repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, but I think it's vital for every American, everyone around the world, you have a right. Let me say to all gays and lesbians that could be listening, let me say this very clearly. You have the right to walk away. You have the right to walk away from the lifestyle. You have the right. Don't let gay activism, using all that they can in the areas of psychology and literally biological determinism, lock you into a lifestyle that so many by the thousands have walked away from. That's what the news media, that's what all the political wigs that were standing there yesterday in that room, excited to say that they've got something passed. That they actually passed something, that they proposed something, and it seemed like they didn't even care what the issue was. The fact was they got something passed, and this is what politics are about sometimes. If they can just win by defeating the other side and getting something passed, the lame duck Congress, you know, wanting to pass everything possible before the new, the new conservative, you know, leadership begins to pour in January, February, and so forth. So it seems like a rush to do anything to claim that they have gotten some kind of, accomplishment. Well, here's the accomplishment. In military, don't ask, don't tell. Now, everybody that I'm listening to, military people and so forth, they're saying this is terrible. And, you know, I've heard different talk shows and different people and news media talk about it. But when I saw the politicians actually there, up there, celebrating, and Barack Obama declaring, you know, as if this was some astounding accomplishment for the good of humanity. And I thought again about his first thing he did when he came to office. The first signing, the bill that he signed to add more millions upon millions of American tax dollars to the abortion issue. So here's the complexity. Someone says, I'm a Christian. Someone says, you know, that's my background. They don't show up for the National Day of Prayer. They don't go to church. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. That's the bottom line. Every politician needs to understand that we're allowed to look at you and gaze at you and decide whether what you're saying is the truth or not. And so leading America into spending billions of dollars overall, I mean, in abroad and overall and year by year since, to aid in the horrific slaughter of the baby on the inside of the womb. Did you know that Jesus Christ called the baby on the inside of the womb, Greek word, brephos, meaning a living human little baby on the inside? So in this political arena, I cannot understand someone that says I'm a Christian, but does not understand the biblical revelation. And this is the issue about don't ask, don't tell in the military. I've said it before. Whatever anybody does in their own bedroom, that's their own thing. That's their own. Whatever you do, that's between you and God. We reap what we sow. And the grace that I know and the mercy that I know is found in Christ, who brings forgiveness and redemption and empowerment and takes us out of addictions, takes us out of all kinds of, any and all kinds of perverted lifestyles and actions. I'm talking about all kinds. Because what Christ did at the cross is beyond any and all sins. He has power over this issue. And so what needs to be also said, and maybe there are those that used to be gay and lesbian, and I would ask you in light of your relationship to God, maybe it's time for you to go forward and say why you left that. See, by the thousands, where's the news media going to tell you that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands have left the gay lifestyle? And who's going to take you to the websites that show you of ex-gay lesbians and activists even, and they're turning to Christ, they're leaving the old lifestyle and walking in a new. So I want to make sure everybody understands. Number one, you have a right in the military to realize that homosexuality, it's without question, it's a spiritual, abnormality, but it is also a biological and physiological. The parts simply don't fit. And we understand that, we know that, and that's what it's all about. But yet, you know, you can take any kind of thing and say, well, as long as you add love and you're able to be an artist, then it's okay. Well, that's not true. And so it's okay, America, it's okay, Europe, to say it's biologically, physiologically abnormal, because it is. It is clearly contrary to biblical revelation and the design that God originated in the majesty of creation of male and female. God knows how to bring the healing and the help in lives that have got caught into any kind of sexual addiction. And so that's the news. Great news in Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes. The next verse, verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So for anyone caught in any kind of, or you're still remaining in just sin, Jesus is the deliverer. Forgiveness and deliverance and healing and power for living is found in Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned that, because it's a hot potato issue, of course, but it's also one where the intent of gay activists, lobbyists, want a absolute silencing of anybody saying anything contrary. But I'm going to say again today, you have the right. You have the right to say, no, my view on this, it's abnormal in every single way, that it brings tremendous dysfunction. I don't want fifth and sixth graders in grade school taught that it's okay. I don't want, you know, everything changed for the sake of practicing activist gay lesbians. I want instead them to bring up the other side of the issue that many thousands and thousands and thousands have left the lifestyle. They hate the lifestyle. They wanted out of the lifestyle. They were dying in the lifestyle. And they found freedom. And they found love. And they found a new power for living in Jesus Christ. That's the great news. That's the incredible thing that Jesus Christ can bring into any life. Now, let me give you another thing on the other side of the fence here. Just before we go into the body of this message. It's about ritual abuse, and we put up on our website, shatterthedarkness.net. And by the way, if you're brand new, let me say welcome. My name is Russ Dizdar, and the website, www.shatterthedarkness.net. We are in the midst of this Christmas, holiday season, all the stuff that people call it. There's also, behind the scenes, ritual dates for winter solstice. The ritual dates, if you look at the satanic calendar, and we have a link to it on our website, the 20th through the 24th, it involves a lot of things, but the very least listed there is sacrifice, sexual ritual also, animal and human sacrifice ritual, blood ritual. So that goes on. So that's the alert. For all of you that understand the whole issue of satanic ritual abuse, the unprecedented rise of rituals, if you haven't heard some of our stuff from the past, 500 million satanic rituals in the last 50 years. Now, I don't have time to go into that, but you can go back into our archives and find where we have information on that, and the new PDF files that will be additions to the book, The Black Awakening, that I wrote, will be up. We're going to just, all I can say is soon, and we have worked to fix some things on some of our missing course materials, but these new PDF files will be up that deals with the amount worldwide of ritual abuse, which includes this unprecedented development in ritual warfare, satanic rituals, and so forth. So it's very important to understand it, to look under the carpet, to see why there is chaos in the air and violence in the streets and a dismantling of everything and that chaotic, catastrophic sense in the air of what's coming. Now, the reason I mention this also is there is an incredible email that I got. And again, I don't do much reading out loud on these emails, but this one I already wrote back to this friend that wrote and said that I was going to read this. And I absolutely hope it's okay. I never do this by mentioning names, and I did write back to my friend here. I only know by email. By the way, thank you for your emails. I'm not always able to get to all of them, but I'm learning how to get to most of them on a daily basis now. We also have joined Facebook, and that's been kind of fun lately. I only get 15 minutes a day total on it, but I do go to it every day now and check and interact with it. And I'm using it evangelistically, ultimately, hopefully, and that's why we're there. But here's in our work and in the book, The Black Awakening, that we've written. It's on our website, and it's about satanic ritual abuse, mind control, the development of the end of days. But I put real life stories in a 20-year history. I put some of the most incredible engagements and stories. One of those stories is about Jackie Cooper. Now, if you go, and you know this for those of you who have, if you go to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, and you scroll down on the right-hand side, take your time, it's a busy website, you'll see a picture of a little girl, a beautiful little girl. That's Jackie Cooper. That's the little girl, along with her twin sister, that I got to hold in my arms, that I got to play with and pray over and watch them laugh and giggle. Those are the twins with the biological mother and father. I went over and picked up, engaged them evangelistically, and brought them to church, put those little babies in my Jeep when I had it, and brought them to church. The people loved them all, loved the babies. And we were on our way to helping them in every possible way we could. We were even going to offer to take the babies if they were not going to keep them. Well, bottom line is, I guess everything fell apart. They all disappeared. We had no idea where the mother was and the babies were until the day we heard the news. I visited the old house where they lived and put a note on the door, once again feeling compelled to go there. But then on the way home, hearing on the local news, Jackie Cooper was dead. And then I began to hear things like a self-proclaimed Crowleyan black pagan, that was what he claimed himself to be, was involved in ultimately the mother, the biological mother, and this other fella, the occultist, ritually abused, broke bones. I don't even want to go to all of it, but they killed in ritualistic fashion little baby Jackie. So we have that up there with a number of other, and we have the SIIU, the Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit. We're going to put the information back up and tell you about some of the cases that we're into. Wish we could get into all of them, but we're into some cases. And the end of the Jackie thing is not done because of who may have also been involved, a coven behind all of this. But I just, saying all that, I'm just leading up to this email that came in, where somebody has gone to the website, clicked on the little picture of Jackie, and has read the background. And maybe, you know, maybe they're listening right now. So I'm just going to say blessings to you, but I need all the rest of us to hear what it is, the response. And I am grateful to God for the response today. I really am. I know that... And this is one of the reasons we bring out exposure of these ugly, horrific, satanic crimes, what has been done behind the scenes. Unbelievable. I mean, you see, I've been there to see the pictures in the law enforcement crime scene pictures and all the rest. But bottom line, here it is. Quote. Now, this is a fellow that has clicked on the picture, read about it, and was reading in the book, my book, The Black Awakening, about this true life story. And so they felt the need to write in, and here's what they wrote. Quote, actually, what they're writing is this. Here's what they say. Quote, I wrote this last night after reading about little Jackie in the book The Black Awakening and what you have on your website about her. So this dear person has written a letter kind of like to Jackie, who's been long gone, and I have no question embraced and in the hands of God. Now, here's what it says. Quote, Jackie, I am so sorry what happened to you. Now, I know that there are those other victims of SRA. And there are so many that nobody's gotten to you. But more and more and more people are understanding and they want to get to you. But hear this. Here's the words of an individual that was moved by reading the story. And here's the words. He's writing to Jackie. Jackie, I'm so sorry what happened to you. I am sorry some failed you and chose not to see the signs and act in your best interest. I saw your picture today, and you are so beautiful. Tears are running down my face as I write this because you didn't deserve what happened to you with the pure evil and pain you had to endure. You didn't deserve to have a hair harmed on your beautiful child of God. You are so special and God will have you in his arms forever. I am so sorry for being so selfish and not understanding your pain earlier. If I could, I would wrap my arms around you, angel, and never let you go. God, please don't let me and others stay blind to this pure evil and let us exercise your will and authority. God, keep us seeking your true will and nothing other. God, guide us to be aware of this evil and let us not be idle about it. Jackie, I love you so much, little girl, and I'm torn up by your horrible death and exposure to this torture and death. It's sick beyond belief. And I would be a coward to be just idle about this and not, in the very least, reflect and try to honor you, child. I am beyond honored to be in your presence and know you, little Jackie. God keep me vigilant and not a coward in the presence of evil, and to speak and to act in your will if I bear witness to evil, especially if it would destroy a small child. God, let me seek you and seek your wisdom. Guide me to help stop this injustice. I know it is scary, but Jackie is braver than I could ever be as a 31-year-old man. I will put on the armor of Christ. Jackie, we love you. Now, I got through that okay today, right now anyway. I read it earlier and it just absolutely tore me up. And I hope to find the father that I know, the biological father, and maybe at least give him the body, the message, without giving any details to the name. So again, to this brave friend that has written in about little Jackie, that's one of the reasons we have it in the book, one of the reasons we have it online, so that it does outrage us and moves us to do what we need to do. Once again, welcome everybody to this Thursday night, December the 23rd. And let me say that we are engaged with the writings of Stephen Hawking, world-renowned physicist, scientist type, and really like an intellectual. I've seen the documentaries and other videos and materials, but I'm reading the book The Grand Design. I'm reading another book called Massive by Sample that is about the overwhelming, passionate desire to find the God particle. And then I just got in the mail the book by Richard Planck, 4%, dealing with the concept of the universe, only 4% of it is the mass that we experience, and the rest of it is, well, unexplained, if you want to say that. And again, the search, this deep search for the how. Now, Stephen Hawking wants to know the why, and he hasn't found it. And see, when I read the issues of someone seeking, another human being seeking and looking and desiring and wanting to find, and I think we all have the right to that. I think that it's important that we do, but I also think that in the context of that, it's very revealing that even some of the most brilliant people in the world cannot, by what they know to do, what they know to use, what they know to read, what they know to apply, cannot find the ultimate reason. And this is a book about ultimate reasons, the ultimate how we got here, the ultimate of all of it. So I am engaging this book. And I am when I engage a book, I'm writing in it, I'm speaking, I'll talk out loud, to the concepts, I'll repeat them, and I'll pray about things. And so it's a book that moves me to pray for Stephen Hawking. And I don't know him, and I don't know if he'll ever hear anything we have to say about it. But I do know this. The overwhelming, I would say, passion of God seeking that which is lost. It is God seeking us. But it's very important for us to understand that God can be known. God can be experienced. It is awesome. God can come to dwell in your life. You can know forgiveness. You can know empowerment. You can know with his presence in your life the absolute assurance of eternal life. I like to call it indestructible immortality. And seeing God face to face. Now, to me, in over 35 years, I have not been seeking the answer. I have not been seeking the why. I've been enjoying. I've been blown away. I've been in the sense of awe over the origins of the universe. Now, listen, I'm not a physicist per se, but I can read. I'm not a scientist per se, but I can read. Anybody can read. I love to read. Nothing wrong with seeking. Nothing wrong with looking. Listen, even if it was the super collider there, CERN, and the entire desire of the multi-million dollar project of a machine seeking to find the particles before the particles, before the beginning, etc. Well, here's what's very important to understand. You know, and this is why I put this up on the website, you know, to say in the series, when it comes to going beyond the material universe, getting to the origins and the why of creation, I'm going to say again that no angel, as powerful as angels are, the elect angels of God that are there, they know. The fallen angels, please understand, spiritually, all the New Agers and all the others need to know this, they all know also. Now, they are also finite. Even though they are more powerful than human beings, they can wipe out an entire city. Dark fallen angels can operate and are operative to bring ultimately the Antichrist, the end of the age, the abyss, Armageddon, all of that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no angel, not even the fallen cherub, Ezekiel 28, can burst into God's room. In other words, can just simply step out of finite existence and into infinite presence without God opening that door. So CERN is not going to find God. I'm telling you that confidently. And by the musings, the brainstorming of philosophers and of physicists in all of their equation, in all of what they are looking at, in all of the M-theory, quantum physics, etc., I'm going to say again, the quest to study the known universe is fine, but by that quest, you will not knock down the door between the finite and the infinite. And that's part of what this week is about. When I read Stephen Hawking's book, I am convinced he doesn't understand the infinite nature of the immaterial God. When I read Richard Dawkins and the God Delusion book that he wrote, I am convinced that he does not understand what and who God is, does not understand infinite nature of God, does not. I am convinced that neither man has experienced God in Christ in the sense of knowing at all. And maybe you're listening right now and you're saying, well, you know, I'm listening to all this Russ and I've read these books and, you know, I'm... And maybe you're smarter than me about all these issues. Question is, have you found God? I asked this of a man that has been going after the extraterrestrials for 40 years, studying and going after and, listen, here's somebody who spent 40 years looking for the extraterrestrials. And I asked him pointedly after after he spoke at the conference, have you found? And his answer was no. And you know what he said to me? He said this, I don't think we will ever find them. Not in our lifetime. Because there's a spiritual game being played in the air, in the atmosphere above us. And it's not that they're extraterrestrial. And guess what? I just got in the mail. I told this, I think, Monday. Another book. And here's the title of it. Ultra-Terrestrial Contact. Another book about extraterrestrial and the... whether they're extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial, these entities, whatever they are, they're communicating on and on and on. And here's a guy that says in the beginning he believed it was all bunk. Then he got into studying it all, engaging it all, engaging abductees, and what he's calling now ultra-terrestrials. I sat down today with a friend of mine out of the CIA, out of the government stuff, and he has a long, long history of pursuit about. And I just, as a Christmas present, because of his study, engaged him and gave him this book, Ultra Terrestrials. He likes to read everything. He's making DVDs for me right now about some other stuff, time travel and things like that, and the Montauk projects and stuff. So as we were talking today, and he does believe that it's extra-dimensional ultimately. But I'm saying that I'm finding that individuals across the board that do not have the living presence of God, even New Agers, 2012ers, esoteric spiritualists, even though you have spiritual experiences, spiritual voices, spiritual enhancements, spiritual engagements, meditations and rocks, charged objects, and on and on and on and on we can mention. I'm finding again, as was with me in the 60s and early 70s, by finite spirits, fallen finite spirits, you cannot find God. You cannot get human enhancements to go remote view God and remote view the past in any accurate sense. You're traveling in the realm of specialists. These are specialists in deception. And they're incredibly moving more and more onto our side, as biblical revelation has said. So that's a vast difference. Again, the human endeavor, whether through machinery, whether through philosophical brainstorming, scientific, or the physicists, you know, theories, on and on and on and on, and books being read about it, written about it. I mean, I've got a number just lately, and I love to read. I love to engage it. But you got to understand, my mind, my experience, if you're a believer, you know the living God. You know the embrace. I walk, you know, today, there's all kinds of things. You know, I met with this fella for lunch, and we had talked, and I ate some Thai food, and all these things that go on during the day, and some trouble issues that occurred today, and some coming back. And by the way, one individual friend, I got in the P.O. box mail, a great big tube. And I want to say to you, thank you. It's Maps of the World, because this broadcast goes to I don't know how many, but then the downloads from all of our materials goes to about 90 countries of the world. By the end of this month, from what we can calculate, which is not all of it, but 1,600,000 downloads of all of our MP3s and teachings and incredible interactions, salvations that occurred, and people, I am blown away by what's occurred with this, but it's by the hand of God. And to my right, my wife had bought me a flea market, one of those, you know, like one of those old libraries, you can buy one of those globes of the world that spins, can sit next to your desk. And she bought me this beautiful wooden one with the globe in the middle, and I have it sitting here. And then right above it, some of you that came to the conference last October came to the home. I have these pages that go from that globe all the way to the ceiling, stapled into the ceiling. And it's the name of every single nation where every download and listeners, just like you, because I pray over that. Because in all of our discussion, there is a overwhelming, no matter what else is going on in the world, here's one thing I know more than anything else. The passionate, driving work of the heart and life and being of God. God is in the world redeeming people. God is saving people all around the world by the hundreds of thousands. Some say in China now it's well over 200 million believers in Christ. Whether that's in India, and listeners, we have friends right there that have sent us stuff and sent us notes. Sam there in France, Wilhelm in the Netherlands, and we have downloads and listeners in Moscow and the Czech Republic and Mumbai and Manila and all around the world. I just want you to know, I'm willing to dig into any subject, but the frame of reference, I'm not going to hide that. God is awesome. God is good. Christ is alive. He lives inside. And I know this compelling love. God is not willing that any human being perish. So when I engage a book like this, and I'm taking even more time reading through it, and we'll mention more and more of the parts, and the book is very revealing. When somebody writes a book, it's very revealing. Stephen Hawking has written a book called The Grand Design. I'm reading one of the most probably prominent, intellectual, smart people in all of the world. And I see a massive lack. I see an individual like others on a track to find the answer. But it's a track built by human hands. It's a track developed by human ingenuity. It's a track completely constructed in a finite level. And if we stand on that track going in the wrong direction saying, I demand to find the answer, and if I can't find God on this track, then God doesn't exist. That's basically Richard Dawkins' issue. If he can't nail down God by his terms, then God must not exist. All the while, like a parched, dry desert, their spiritual life, their human spirit is dead to God, and there is no confession. See, I can sit here for an hour and tell you, you know, when we prayed about this and this, and God answered. You know what it is to feel the Holy Spirit of God inside of you? To have the Spirit of God bear witness with your human spirit that you're a child of God and that you can intimately cry out, Abba, Father, and worship and embrace God and let God embrace you and let the Father of compassion touch your life. We all have troubles. We all have things that we engage, but I am so used to going to God and interacting. Listen, I can interact with people, and I do all the time. I can ask people for help. I can ask people for, their insight. But I have God to ask. I read James chapter 1, and God is generous with wisdom, and he'll give wisdom to all without finding fault. But we got to come in faith. See, God's track is you got to come his way. This is the way to God. God's laid the tracks. And if we take those tracks, please understand, as God unveils his track, through the Old Testament, all that's going to be done, all that's going to be said, and this happened the other day, and it's this whole issue about the so-called Christmas time. And I went to buy stamps at the post office about 2 weeks ago, and the lady goes, do you want the holiday stamps? And I said, well, let me see them. So she brings out these stamps. One has an angel with a harp or like a banjo or some kind of little banjo thing. And the other, they just had like pine leaves. And I wanted to say in a funny way, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Because with this whole complexity, it's occult stuff from the Rome. It's the Christians overcoming the pagans. It's the commercialism. It's those who want Jesus out of Xmas, that issue. And I almost looked right at her and said, where's Jesus? I kind of laughed on the way home because I was going to like, where's Jesus? You took Jesus out of the stamp. As if that's going to remove him from wherever. Listen, are you a believer in Christ? Have you read Isaiah 7:14? 700 years before Jesus came. Therefore, the Lord himself, Adonai himself, will give you a sign. The virgin, now she's a sign. Mary's a sign. The virgin will be with child. Did you hear that? The virgin will be a child. That's right. Never been touched by a human male. Never had relations with a human male, ever. Yet she's going to be found with child and give birth to a son. And 700 years prior, here's what God says, the Spirit of God. Infinite, uncreated Spirit of God through the prophet says, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Go forward in time 700 years. There's Mary. The angel engages her, tells her what's going to happen. She's not married. She's a virgin. She's going to bear the Son of God. She asks how this is going to be. He explains by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the name, Jesus, and the name Emmanuel is mentioned. So, listen, if you are a seeker, prophetic revelation. What God has said in the Old Testament leading up to the New is absolutely off the chart. Hundreds of Spirit of God-given prophetic revelation about what God is going to do in the bringing of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, yes, this is Yahweh Adonai, for those who like Hebrew. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw a pre-incarnate vision. And it's simply the Hebrew there, Yahweh Adonai. This is the one who became flesh and blood. This is the one that we've been talking about in John's Gospel. Remember? Hain Arki, Hain Halagos, Kai Halagos, Hain Pros, Ton Theon, and then Kai Theos, Hain Halagos. Now, the reason I put it out that way is this. It's very explicit in the Greek. In beginning. In arche. Then when it gives the little word, hain, halagos. Halagos, of course, word. Hain is that little word in the imperfect that means that logos has no beginning, no end, always existent. So in the beginning of everything, Stephen Hawking. In the beginning of everything, Richard Plant. In the beginning, prior to it, hain, halagos, always existent, eternally existent, the logos. And the logos, hain, pros, was and has always been eternally face to face with God. And then he goes on to say this, and theos, God, hain, was the word. And God, the word, became flesh, is what we're getting at today. The finite mind has a hard time with this. We really do. We do because we cannot think. And, you know, we have to go through listening to me minute by minute by minute by minute by minute. And God, obviously, as we pray, you know, that's why it says in Scripture that he knows the word that it's going to come to our tongue before it ever reaches our tongue. Before we form what we're going to say, and then it comes out of our mouth. And God knows before it ever gets to our tongue, before it ever comes out of our mouth, what it is we're going to say. You've got to understand the infinite detail. I mean, the explicit. He knows where every molecule in the material universe is. He knows where every atom. He knows why. He knows how. Just because finite man on finite tracks has not by their ingenuity, brain power, and machinery been able to nail it down, let me say this. Why don't you get off those tracks? You can always study. I study. But why don't you look at the tracks that God has given? That leads to him, to the New Ager, to the Wiccan, to the, well, underground Satanist. You know that the dark spirits, the fallen spirits, there's another track altogether, going south. That's the tracks that have come from south of heaven and lead back to south of heaven. Hell's Kitchen. The counterfeit spirits and counterfeit spirituality and all the rest, they're never, ever, ever, ever going to be able to lead you to infinite God, or to understand the physics of God, the work of God, the way of God, how it is God operates. Now, I'm going to say right now, in my life, I understand God is at work in me, operative in me. The spiritual, listen, when I say physics of God, I mean the personal nature of God. God doesn't do works without his person being involved. God doesn't grant the believer the power of the Holy Spirit absent from his presence. The power of the Holy Spirit is his presence. Isn't that a great blessing? Isn't that a great thing to know? You can stand as a believer, open your arms wide, and just begin to talk to God. Feel God all over you. Know God. Walk with God. Listen to God. Open the book of God and know that it's personal, that it's active, that it's interactive, that it's God speaking, that there's, if you want to say supernatural, the physics of God, his physics are even in the Word of God, living and active. Well, in the beginning, the one that dwells in my life has always and will always be there. We read in Isaiah 6 concerning God, who was and is to come. That involves the interaction. That involves the infinite acting in time and space, acting in, well, where we're at, with no problems. God is not harnessed. God is able to operate. So when we talk about God becoming human flesh, when we talk about God coming down, it's not saying that God's presence, knowing, knowledge, spirit is not already here. There's not a place. I mean, we're talking infinite presence, infinite knowing, infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, infinite power. The creation of humankind to bear the image of God and the will. See, some of the scientists and philosophers using finite tracks, tools, they're concluding that man doesn't have a free will and that everything is biologically or neurologically or DNA-wise determined. Even some of those that are into the extraterrestrials or ultra-terrestrial, it's all about, well, it's all written in the code and we just act according to the code. No, it isn't. Not at all. This incredible creation of human free will is what we are. We could not be human without that. It involves memory. It involves our conscience. See, in the Greek, it's kardia. It's where the center, where your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, we don't break it down that way, but truly we do think on things that causes us to feel, and based on the thinking and the feeling that go together. If you think bad things, bad scenarios, and get all the worry, then your feelings are going to feel that. And then choices need to be made. And that's why we can read in Philippians about be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You know, bring your prayers with thanksgiving, give it to God. Let the actual operating presence, the physics of the Spirit of God, the presence, the work, bring. Well, the little word there means that he's able to supersede our minds and bring us enormous peace. And literally, God's presence will guard our heart and mind. Now, that's the experience I have. So as an experiencer of God, I know the objective outside word of God. I understand that all of creation witnesses to the fact of the eternal God as power, an infinite God, a God beyond finite creation, and all of creation, including the angels, it's all finite, including for the Satanists out there, the Luciferian out there, the elitist undergrounders out there. Satan himself is finite. That's why he's never been able to become God, though his quest and passion in the world and the economic, political, military, all that stuff, moving towards chaos, rise of Antichrist, rise of the false prophet, opening of the abyss, and then eventually Armageddon. It's all motivated by the passion of a fallen cherub who seeks to replace God, to end God and take over. That's why the complexity. But when we think now in terms of God, that every human being, you know, we're spiritually dead to God until once again God approaches us, draws us. There's a need for a fix. What's going to fix your dead spirit to God? What's going to fix your sin? What's going to fix the fact that when you die, and you're lost forever? The cross. And that's why I want to say again tonight, the infinite God, awesome, almighty, infinite God, in the bottle of time, space, and humanity. Now here's what I'm going to say about it. Like a little, you ever see one of those bottles that has a ship in it? As a kid, you wonder how they got it in there. As a kid, I had one smaller version, cheap version, and I did everything in the world how to get the ship out. And all I did was, you know, I broke all of the sails and broke all of the things trying to get that ship out of that bottle. Trying to figure out as a little kid how it got in there, and I'm going to get this thing out of here, and I just tore it up. You have to, you know, I just figured, I got to break this bottle in order to get this ship out of here. The bottle demonstrated something. The bottle can only hold so much liquid. The bottle demonstrates limitations. In the bottle of time, time is a limitation. I have 1 hour on the radio with you. We have to sleep. We have to get up. There's a lot of things. I mean, listen, limitations are strength. How much can you lift? What size of a box can you move? Money. How much money do you really have? What can you do? What about your height? You ever been at a supermarket and someone who can't reach something? I've many times had a little lady, grandmother, like, point, oh, you know, literally, you know, hey, can you help me? And ask me to reach up there on that higher level and grab a jar of pickles and give it to them? What about size? What about health? What about death? See, Stephen Hawking is in that chair. I feel for him. I think it's pretty amazing what he's done in the chair, but the chair is a limitation. All of us have a limitation. Death, the issue of death is a limitation. Our limited ability. We seek, we look, we do things. We only have so much time also. It's possible to run out of time and lose your soul, lose ever being with God. This concept of time and space, the infinite God is not bound by it, but has come into. That's that, you know, halagos. Logos became human flesh. God, infinite, almighty, you know, Yahweh Adonai. God became human flesh. There's a reason for that. There, you know, and the DNA of that incarnation, my goodness, my goodness. Let me give you six things real quick. In the DNA of incarnation, God in human flesh, God never forgot us. That's what it means. Number one, God never forgot us. Number two, God joined in the deepest way to get us out of our sin lostness. Number three, that Jesus is God visible. Dear friend, look at him. Look at him. Read the Gospels. Look at him. You're not going to find this in New Age and talk show counterfeit spirituality where they de-deify and make a little tiny Jesus. Look at Jesus. He came so you could know him. He came so that his presence and power and what he did at the cross can come into you. Number four, who he is, what he said, and what he did are all absolutely unequaled. Five, he was, is, and is to come. Six, he is now. Right now, listen, I've got the music at my back right now. We're at the end of this hour. My dear friend, visit shatterthedarkness.net. We invite you to turn your life over to Christ, to God. Remember us in prayer, dear friends. Remember us in support. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow night, Friday night at 6 p.m. Good night.